Father, now as we gather, bless your words to our hearts.
Thank you.
As we worship, as we pray, as we did announcements and took care of those things that are important, Lord, we now partake of what I believe you said is the better thing, sitting at your feet. All of us really take that time to listen, receive it, but Lord, put it into practice. So, Father, thank you for those who are not with us, who are not well. We pray, Lord God, that they would recover quickly. Help. And, Father, if it's just a matter of them not feeling like they did, I pray that. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, now, I don't think Kate and Derek knew the message today. I didn't know it until last night. Not really shared with anybody, but it has happened quite often. The thing that part, you know, we have a format for service, but we don't organize the service from the standpoint of trying to have the different things take place in a certain way. We don't orchestrate, you know what I mean? We don't try to say, do this and do that and that. We don't do any of that. But I've seen over the years, many, many years of being in church, preaching God's word, how the Holy Spirit actually shows us and confirms and flows the whole service, you know, for us. And that's been important as we trust him to do that. So they didn't know today that the message was on intercessory prayer. They had no idea at all. And they encouraged us already to pray, to take the time for intercession. It was a great encouragement, and it blessed my heart because it was a confirmation for me for this message, but also I received a confirmation even this morning as I was going on a couple of my Bible sites that I had on my computer, and as I was really to say, Lord, is this really the message you want? I clicked the one, and the exact text came up, and it was not the quote. There it was. I'm like, okay, Lord, that's not for me. So we're going to talk about intercessory prayer today. What is it? What does it mean to be an intercessor? Simply speaking, an intercessory prayer, if you will, is prayer on behalf of others. It's an opportunity to intercede on others' behalf. Since we have access to God, we have the privilege of praying for other people. Just like we would pray for ourselves, we know that we are called to pray for other people. So an intercessory prayer is praying on the behalf of others, and an intercessor is someone who prays on the behalf of others. And the Bible tells us a lot about intercessory prayer. It gives us great examples throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, of intercessory prayer and intercessors themselves. And we are encouraged to pray. We are encouraged to pray for one another. And when we intercede, when we are acting as, you know, a mediator, an ambassador, a champion, on behalf of someone else, we're actually also modeling what Jesus has done and is continually doing for us. He's standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, the Bible says. He is making intercession for us, and that enables us to be able to intercede for others. We have access to God in prayer. I hope you know that. He has made access for us through Jesus Christ to the Father. We can go and into the throne room of God himself, and we can make our prayer requests known to him. And the Bible tells us that he hears us. He hears us. He doesn't just hear some noise. He hears us. He's listening to us. So we have an access to God. We can pray for ourselves, but we are called also to intercede and to pray for others. So this morning, I want to look at this, and this kind of came to my mind, my spirit, you might recall that, whatever, a few days ago, but I didn't know this was going to be the message, and I was just actually thinking about some people from the Philadelphia church that you probably know that are actually traveling. Somebody might have met Charles and his wife Bertha. They're traveling now. She's from Chile, and that's where they're traveling now. They're meeting some of the family down there. And they keep saying that this, they just feel it's an important time for them and their family. And they have been interceding for their family. They've asked others to intercede for their family. And, as they're there, they even said in Texas recently to say, continue to pray for us. And it's important that we pray. And as I was thinking about that, I began to think about the first time that we really see intercessory prayer, or intercessor in the Bible. And that comes from the book of Genesis. And I know some of us are right back there again as we're going through the E100 readings. This is not one of the E100 readings. I guess it wasn't essential enough. It really is. But it's not one of the readings. But as you're in there, you might be coming by this, and it's a very familiar passage that we've read before. And it's regarding the time when Abraham is going to intercede and pray for his nephew and his family, as well as the people in the city of Sodom. So we'll take some time and a moment to look at that. But before I get there, I want to say this. We also recall this week, a prayer call went out throughout the nation, and we got wind of it, and we sent out the push notifications. I think it was in the announcement that went out to this church during the week to pray, to intercede, to pray for the nation, to take some time. I think it was Wednesday at around noon. Some of you should receive that notification on your phone, or you receive the email, to take some time and pray. And it's good when we prompt one another to pray, but we need to understand that we have this privilege of doing it all the time. So when we get to the story in Genesis 18, I'm not going to read the whole text, but I'll read part of it. As we get to the story of Genesis 18, to kind of set the picture here, Abraham, at this point, is about 99 years old, young buck, and he still waiting for the promise of the seed, the child, that would be the heir, his heir, that God said, through this child, I'll bless all the nations of the earth. He's still waiting. And he's hanging out with his wife, Sarah, who's 90 years old at this point. And even though they lived longer years back then, they were still, as the Bible said, past the age. She was past the age of where she was going to really bear a child. And we know, I don't want to sidetrack the message, but God had gotten to that point because, they were trying to do it their way to help God out. And God was like, no, you can't even do it on your own anymore. That's when I'm going to come in, and do what only I can do. But God does visit them in the plains of Mamre. He visits them. And it's the Lord. It's a Christophany. It's an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament. And it's two angels that the text says are with the Lord. And they come. And Abraham recognizes, who these visitors are. He tells his wife, please make some food for them quickly. I want to serve them. I want to give them hospitality. And they agree to sit and have a meal with Abraham. And so here's Abraham and his wife. And we know that at this point in that story that the Lord tells Abraham that, now's the time. This time next year, Sarah's going to have a child. She overhears it and laughs. She's like, I can't believe this. And she's like laughing, incredulously laughing, But God made him that promise. So we have to understand, here's this couple that have left everything that they knew years ago when they were just minding their own business and they were not even worshiping God, the true God. But God calls Abraham and he tells him to go to this place that he's going to show him. He says, come on, Sarah, we're going. And they go, and they've been walking now with God all these years. All these years. That means Abraham has had a relationship with God. He knew God. He listened to God. He obeyed God. He trusted God. He was not a perfect man. We see Abraham's sins. They're brought out in Scripture. Not all of them, but some very specific ones that are brought out. He's not a perfect man by any means. But he believed God. The Bible says he believed God, and that by which was accounted him for his righteousness, by believing God. I did not say, as you notice, believe in God. The devil believes in God. But the devil ain't going to be saved. The devil believes in God, but he's never going to have anything in his life accounted as righteousness. Abraham didn't just believe in God. He believed God. A big difference. He believed God to trust God. And he believed God. And because of this, now Abraham is going to have this wonderful privilege of this visit from God. And in this time where God's going to visit him, God is going to do something which I think is very remarkable. He's going to talk to Abraham as a, someone would talk to a friend or a confidant, and he even says to the angels, should we not withhold what we're going to do here? In other words, he's going to have a conversation with Abraham, not asking permission from him, but informing him of what God intended to do to bring the destruction on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where I'll pick up some of our text here in Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 16. This is after they tell Sarah that she's going to have the child, and inform them to have the child, and then the men now arose from them. And they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him. So in other words, hey, should I keep this information back to Abraham? Did I let him know what I intend to do? Which I think is remarkable, but again, it shows us of the type of relationship that Abraham had with God. All these years of walking with God, all these years of talking with God, all these years of listening to God, all these years of in obedience to God, again, not perfectly, but obeying God, all these times where he had to trust God. You know, I contrast that to the objects of Abraham's intercessory prayer. You know, he's the one praying, he's the subject, but the objects. The objects were Lot and his family, and the people, the righteous people of Sodom. I go on to contrast that just for a moment here. Did you ever consider and wonder? Now, the Bible says that Abraham was a righteous man. He was righteous because he believed God, God's promise, and he was declared righteous because of that. And as much as we know, Abraham was a pretty good guy. You know, he was doing his best to walk with God, not perfectly, but doing his best. And his nephew, on the other hand, maybe started out okay. He also believed God, not just believing God, he believed God. And the Bible says in the New Testament that Lot, with all of his sin and warts, and he had a lot of them, a lot more than seems to be Uncle Abraham, you know, he was considered a righteous man also, a just man. Interesting, the Bible. Peter says he's a just man. It's interesting. But did you ever wonder why God spoke to Abraham about what he intended to do? And he didn't go and say, hey, Lot, let me tell you what's going to happen here in Sodom. You know, think about it. Lot's in Sodom. He's living there. If God wanted to do something to stir some people's up, maybe he should have, you know, in your mind, like, think that way. Go, why didn't you just tell Lot? Well, I believe the reason he didn't tell Lot is Lot, at this point in his life, is very far from God. He was very far from the things of the Lord. He probably wouldn't even have listened. He wasn't interested, if you will, at this time in his life, in the things of God. Lot also was unaware, completely, you can see by the text, he was completely unaware of the end of the danger that was coming. He was very content in Sodom. He was happy living there. He was grieved, the Bible says, by it, but if he was grieved that much, he could have gotten out any time he wanted to. No, he said, I'm content. And maybe he was content to the point where he just kind of just, this is my life kind of situation, and I'm okay here. And he's just like comfortable. This is just what life is. And he was totally oblivious to his and the people around his spiritual condition. We don't see anything in the text where he comes to Uncle Abraham and say, please, pray for me, please, Uncle. I'm so far from God. I made so many wrong choices, you know. You know what's happening, Uncle Abraham. I couldn't. You told me to pick everywhere. Hey, I wanted to, and I picked the wrong place, and now I'm living in a sinful city. You know, and I feel like I can't get out. He didn't do that. He never once, we see in the text, what Abraham said, please pray for me, help me. I know I'm wrong, but I can't find the strength, or I can't find my way out of my predicament. Even later, when he finds out that, you know, he does this and finds out that the doom was coming, when he does now try to inform his daughter's fiancés, they don't go with him. They don't believe him. Someone once said that, you know, Lot is the guy who led his family into Sodom, but he could not leave them out. This is how compromised was. So God's not going to speak to Lot because Lot didn't have the same relationship with God that Abraham had. Abraham was walking with God and listening to God. Abraham wanted to hear from God. Abraham believed God. That didn't stop Abraham from praying for life. Thomas is nephew. But we notice in the text, and we'll read a little bit more in a moment, we'll notice in the text that Abraham is not just praying for Lot. Now, I'm sure Lot was on his heart, and I'm sure much of his prayer was because of his concern for Lot. But it says here in our text that Abraham begins to pray for Sodom. It says here in verse 20, the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's telling Abraham what's going to happen. It's great. Because their sin is grievous, I'll go down, see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is common to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the angels went on toward Sodom, but God stayed still having a conversation with Abraham. And Abraham draws near, and he said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Says to God, God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, hey, I'm reading my King James, or they'll be following the scriptures. Peradventure, there'd be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy, not spare the place with 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare the place for the sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I'm taken upon me to speak to the Lord, and I'm just dust and ashes. Listen, peradventure, if there's 50 less 5, then 45, would you destroy the city? You know? And God said, no, if I find 45, I won't destroy it. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? Hey, God, if you would just listen to me one more time, God, if there's even 10 there, would you spare the city for 10? God said, if I find even 10 there. The Lord had a heart that was cold. We get his uncle Abraham had a heart that cared for his nephew and his family. He cared for the people in Sodom. Not necessarily agreeing with their lifestyle, but he cared for them and said, God, there's got to be some there. Some that are righteous. And when you talk about the word righteous here in this context, we're not talking about sinless people, of course, so no person is. We're not even talking about people necessarily that are in the moment doing the right thing, because Lot really wasn't, but people that still, Lord, you know, Lord, they're doing the best. There's something in their life with God. They know about you. They may be messed up right now, but they have a knowledge of you, God, and there's something within them, Lord. You know their hearts. You know it better than anybody else. Lord. There's got to be at least 10 people, Lord, that are worth sparing. And any righteous that would be there. And God listened to Abraham's prayer. See, Abraham was a good intercessor. And he was a good intercessor because one of the things, and there's some aspects of this intercessory prayer that I want to look at, is he was a good intercessor because he had a relationship with God. And that's important. That's the first thing. But because of that relationship he had with God, he had the boldness to approach God in this manner. See, he spent enough time with God that he felt, if you will, comfortable enough to say to God, hey, just dust and ashes, but let's think about this a minute. Could you save if there's even 50 there? Now, he wasn't just saying, think about this, he wasn't just saying save the 50. He said, would you spare the whole city if you find 50 there? He had some boldness in him. That was a pretty bold request to go to God and say, God, are you sure you're right about this? Can we think this over for a minute? God, if you can find 50. But he had that boldness because of his relationship with God. He was a great mediator now. He's a go-between. He knows that the people there are just doing their own thing, and it wasn't good, but they don't even know what's coming. And Abraham says, listen, they are blind. They're deaf. They don't even know what's coming. But I care enough for them that I want to stand in the gap for them. I don't want to see them go down. I don't want to see them burned up. I don't want to see them destroyed. I want to stand in the gap for them. I want to make this request for them. I'm going to plead for their cause. I'm going to be like their counselor, like their advocate. I'm just going to be there and cry out to them. And in that, you see the empathy that Abraham had. And empathy is an important thing. And I hope that we ask God to give us more empathy, because sometimes we get to the point where, and Jesus even said, as we get closer to the latter days and the last times before his return, he says that the hearts of many people will get cold. I don't want our hearts to ever get cold. See, Abraham had empathy. He realized, you know what? I know I'm trying to do my best out here, and maybe they're not there, but, you know, God, they are people that are in your image, but also, God, I know what it's like, because I haven't followed you perfectly all my life, too. I realize what happens in a person's life when they're not obeying you. Abraham did some things, and he had some, blowback from some of his sins, and he said, that's not a comfortable little place to be. And you know, Lord, even though I can see clearly what's going on, they can't, so Lord, I feel for them. See, we think sometimes that praying for somebody or interceding for somebody, that means we have our condoning their actions. Abraham in no way is condoning the actions of the people in Sodom, nor is he condoning Lot's actions. But what he's saying is, Lord, I understand. I get it. See, how many times can we look back on our life and we might think, you know, yeah, I was like that, but I'm this way now, and I'm this good, righteous person, and those people deserve what they get. Listen, don't think that way at all. Because there's none of us that deserve God's salvation. None of us are worthy of that. We should be thankful for the grace that he's bestowed upon us. And we should say, Lord, I'm not worthy, but Lord, neither is that one, or this one. Lord, I pray that their eyes would be open to see their condition. I stand in the gap for them. So he had that empathy. He cared about them. And we know he's praying for the city, because his prayer could have been, hey, God, do what you got to do to that wicked city. Just get Lot out of there, please. He didn't pray that way. Yeah, he's praying for Lot. And probably in Abraham's mind, and I'm just surmising, I can't say the prayer, but in Abraham's mind, he's most likely thinking, well, God, you know Lot. He's not, he's a wayward boy right now. He's a prodigal right now. But you know him. He is one of the righteous, Lord. He is. And so, Lord, if there's any other ones in there. You know, Abraham, years ago, when Lot was taken, when the kings invaded, they took them. Lot went there, Abraham went there and got those people and brought them back. And Abraham's probably thinking at this point, you know, I met these people, I rescued these people, you know what I mean? Lord, there's got to be some people in there. I'm crying out for them, God. And he was a good intercessor, not because he had only the boldness because of his relationship, not because he was a mediator and an advocate, and not only because he had empathy, but because he was a great intercessor, because he also now took action. You can say to people and commiserate you, oh, woe is me, woe is them, and that's a tough situation. But do you pray for them? Do you actually pray for them? Do you actually take time, like you may have gotten the text, and I'm not saying this to anybody, he's shaming me, but did you get the email text and you say, oh, it's 12, well, a lot of other people are praying, and I got lunch, you know, or I got to. Did you take even 5 minutes and say, Lord, you know, I just want to do something. If I myself can't do anything right at this moment to change the condition of the world around me, Lord, I know I can come to the one who can, and I can come and I can stand in the gap for them. And I can pray. I can pray. I can seek your face. And then when he took that action, he did not just say a quick prayer and be done with it. This man was persistent. God, would you do? fair to sin? 50? Sure. Oh, how about 45? How about 45? Lord, I am not sure to see even 40. How about if you do 30, 20, 10? He was persistent. He kept on asking. He kept on asking. Jesus tells us in the Bible, there's some people, I heard this years ago. I mean, many years ago. Not, I don't know a lot of people, but I heard this. You know, you should never pray for something more than once. That means you have no faith. And I'm like, wait, I don't see that in the Bible. Jesus said, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Not keep on knocking. He told parables like the unrighteous judge that the woman bothered him so much that he finally took action. And he said, keep on praying, man. Don't stop. Abraham was persistent in his prayer. See, Lot and his family, by what we would look at it, and maybe the way the rest of the world looked at it, would say, well, they made their own bed, let them lie in, what's coming is coming. No. God answered his prayer. No, the city was not spared. But Lot and his family was spared. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think he's going to answer them. But here's some principles I'll leave you guys with here. I've got 3 more minutes together. Gave some of the aspects of what made Abraham a good, intercessor at boldness with his relationship and mediator, advocate, having empathy, and spurred into action. He was persistent. But, we also have to understand something. That this, by the way, I believe this is the first, intercessor. He's the first real. There's some principles in this prayer that we understand. Because of his relationship with God, not only did he have the boldness, but because of his relationship with God, Abraham was motivated, if you will, or directed to pray. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, see, here's the relationship. He's been walking with God all these years. He's believing in God. He just received life-changing message, finally, that the promise he's been waiting for is coming. And God now God has this meeting with him to tell him, inform him what he's going to do. You know, many intercessors that I know, in fact, I say that term intercessor, I don't want you to think that if you don't have an eye on your forehead, you're not an intercessor. No, we're all called to be intercessors. But I'm talking about people that I know are people that have practiced, and they are practicing intercessory prayer constantly. But I know that many of the times, they have within their walk with the Lord, they see things sometimes differently than many others do. Because they're spending so much time with God and his word, then they look around the world around them, they see things that others don't. They say, we need to be praying about this. See, their relationship with God allows that time for God to really be speaking to their heart, which opens their eyes to conditions around them that others may not see. And that now begins to direct their prayer. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, it's easy to say, well, I will just pray for everybody all the time, everywhere. Great. But how many times do you know if you're spending time with God and all of a sudden he drops something on your heart, pray for this one. Have you ever been waking up by God and pray for somebody? Do you ever have a burden in your heart to pray about a situation? When your hands didn't go up, so I guess nothing happens. So you believe his message for that. You're like, I think Mary's going to go, come on, you know that. Well, maybe if you're not, maybe it's because when you're going to sleep and then you're reading your phone for now, then you're watching TV and you go, you're spending time with God in prayer, he's going to start speaking to your heart. Your relationship with him is going to direct your prayer. All of a sudden, you're going to say, wow, I got to pray for, and you may never know why. You may never know why. It doesn't matter. Pray, because God will direct your prayer. And see, when you were directed by the prayer of God, you're going to know, like Abraham, because you've walked with God yourself for so long, because you have seen God bestow such great mercy in your life, that's going to give you this opportunity to be motivated for saying, Lord, I know you hear me, and I see how you respond to prayer. So, Lord, even though I don't know much about the situation, or I do know about the situation and it seems impossible, I'm going to pray because I know you're a great God who can do impossible things. I've seen it. And then this third thing I'm going to share is that God's character, God's righteousness, anchors our prayer. See, there's a key verse, I believe, in that text we just read. And the key verse, in my opinion now, is verse 25. And that's where it says, where Abraham says, far be it from you, he's talking to God, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You get this? Abraham saying, God, I can speak to this matter, and I thank you for listening to me, but I'm speaking to you in this way because I know you. I know your character. I know you're a God of love and mercy and grace. I know you're a God who does care for people that you created in your image. I know you, God. And it does not seem like your character that you want to destroy this whole city. Lord, if there's some there, do what is right. I know you will. I know you. I know you. You will do what is right. This has become one of my favorite parts of the Bible. So many times I had thought in my own life, I had to share with other people who were dealing with situations where maybe I don't understand what God's going to do. I said, this is a challenge to judge all the earth tonight. God will do what is right. Pray and trust Him. Pray and believe. Pray and let Him do the God thing. Because that's what He will do. So he had an intercessor's heart, but he was also a man, also of great faith. He was able to say to God, hey, God, you'll do what's right. At the end of the day, I trust you enough that I can leave the city of Sodom, that I can leave my nephew and his family in your hands. I believe you will do what is right. Do you know that takes great faith? You know that? Because we sometimes pray to God and we want something so bad. We don't even want to pray. Thy will be done, God. I just want what I know. I see the situation as I see it. And this is how I want it done, God. You better do it this way, God. You better listen to me this way. Abraham said, God, this is my heart. But I know you're going to do what's right. And then you know what happens after he says that in the chapter? The conversation's over. And he gets to the end of it. God goes his way. Abraham goes his way. Abraham trusted God that he would do what was right. What did we learn today? Well, one of the things we hopefully learned is that you don't have to be a person who has been designated by the church or had a position. Hey, sitting in the front row today, we have the intercessors, and here they are. The intercessors will be praying today. Now listen, there are those who want the saints of God, and we need them. That are constantly praying intercessory prayer for for the people they love, the church, the nation. But guess what? They're not that special. There's people that have said, I will do what I'm called to do. We're all called to be intercessors. Every single one of us. And maybe your heart today is saying to you, I don't feel like it. Well, then ask God to change your heart. Listen to this text here. Hebrews 9:10 tells us this. See, because we have to remember something, because Jesus interceded and presently intercedes for us, we have the ability to intercede for others. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, that our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Church, we are intercessors because of our relationship with him. If you are born again, you have a relationship with God that allows you to enter into his throne room. He has declared the unrighteous, which is us, righteous because of the blood that he shed on the cross that we received by faith, that he washed our sins away, and he clothed us with his righteousness. And thereby we can enter boldly, like Abraham, into a relationship, into it, the throne room of God, and we can pray. You know anybody needs prayer? Anybody? You know of any situations that need prayer right now? Do you look around this world and say, everything is good and wonderful and perfect? You know. But I will say, ask the Holy Spirit, to show you whether or not your heart has become cold. And then you've come to that place where you're not caring for people as you should. But you know, well, I go to church, I do my thing, and yeah, maybe I pray for my, you know, children or grandchildren, but the rest of the day, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, no, change my heart. Give me the heart of your heart. You understand today that intercessory prayer is active and not passive? Do you understand that intercessory prayer touches the heart of God? That as our hearts begin to cry out, God is leaning in, if you will. And God has been waiting for many of us to just begin to pray. So who is on your heart today? What situation is on your heart? Maybe you need to ask someone today to intercede to God on your behalf. Maybe you can admit, hey, I'm part of God today. I'm not worshiping. Don't be like Lot and hole up in your corner somewhere and say, whatever. Say, no, listen. I'm not ashamed, my brother and sister. Listen, I'm not ashamed to say, can you pray for me today? I'm not where I need to be in my walk with the Lord. Or maybe you say, well, I think my walk's okay, but Lord, my heart, I can tell, is a little cold today. My vision has gotten, you know, very myopic, very close. I'm only seeing this much. I don't see the world around. Lord, I remember years ago you used to wake me up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody, but Lord, that doesn't happen anymore. Lord, is it that nobody needs prayer, or is it that I don't really care to pray? My heart has grown cold, or I've grown weary in my prayer. I just figure whatever it could be, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Lord, change my prayer. Give me the intercessor's prayer. Kate Derrick asked, what's on your heart? That's a great question to ask. Lord, what's on your heart? Who can we pray for? Who can we stand in the gap? Who needs us to intercede in this moment because judgment may be coming? May be falling this afternoon. Your love encompasses all people. But we realize people have a choice. And many have rejected your love. But Lord, we still love them. And we know you still love them. Father, help us today as we pray to intercede for them, to come before your throne on their behalf. Lord, they're far from you. Lord, wake them up. Spare their lives. Lord, turn their situation around that they may see their condition, their spiritual condition, to cry out to you to escape the judgment that has come quickly. Father, help me today to be intercessor. Help us today to be the intercessors that you have called us to be, to spend time with you, to grow in our relationship with you, to ask you to change our hearts, to see as you see, to hear as you hear, to feel as you feel, to know how much you love, to know that you are listening, to know that you know our very thoughts, our very tears. So help us, Lord, to have that heart after your heart. So that as we become the intercessors that you have left in your church here to be a member, Lord God, that we pray for others to make the right choice. Turn their situation around that they might be saved. So Father, thank you for this lesson from Abraham. Let us remember the principles of prayer, intercessory. Let us know that because you pray for us, because you're doing that work in us, we now have the ability to pray for others. So let us stand before your throne in boldness. Let us, Lord God, have that tender heart that feels for others, that is tender for others. Let us, Lord God, be persistent. Let us, Lord God, be believing. Let us, Lord God, have that faith to know that as we pray, not only do you promise to hear, but to answer our prayer. And then, Lord, let us have faith to know that we can entrust it into your hands, knowing that as you hear, that as you answer, the judge of all the earth will do what is right. So, Lord, if your will is done, we can say also, it is well for us. Father, thank you today for your word, this message, and I pray today the Holy Spirit would allow us to resume our roles, or renew our roles as intercessors, and that we can see a mighty change starting in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in towns, across this nation, and even the world, Lord God. Because, Lord, I think we know enough to see it. I hope we know enough to see that judgment is coming. Very soon. Now is the time. Let's dance. Continue to pray for one another. Let's sing a song together. Let's try to glorify Jesus. Crown him.